You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Yes, you are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and we are absolutely thrilled that you're locked down with us. Nathan Zagura has stepped aside to take care of some of the TV biz that we also do here with the Browns. Michael Regei, Matt Wilhelm. Matty, hey, listen, that last hour, we revved up the emotion in here. Excellent. Yeah, Barkevious Mango, Ben Tate, way it should be, huh?
And it's only a Wednesday. Just imagine what Friday is going to be like, right?
Yeah, we've got two more full days to get this done, to be sure. But we got you till 3 o'clock this afternoon. Mike Pettine coming up in just a moment. I've got to tell you, though, about all of our buddies at Ohio Business Machines and Sharp Copiers when it comes to all of you Browns fans. Their loyalty for the team is absolutely unconditional, and that's really the way they like it. Yeah, the loyalty, and that's a big word to OBM, loyalty. They provide it to their customers with OBM's exclusive no-risk guarantee and seven-year security blanket, teamed with OBM's designation as the only Sharp Platinum-level service provider in town, so they could really put that outside edge rush blitz on and tackle any copier problems you'll ever want to have, and hope you don't have too many. And with OBM, you won't. You're not going to scramble to keep your office running. Professional document services provider of the Cleveland Browns. Visit them, OhioBusinessMachines.com today, or give them a call, 216-485-2000. Matt and I and Nathan in the first hour, we're giving you some of the little snippets of what Mike Pettine had on his plate today, but you need to hear the whole menu. So without further ado, here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, let's listen to the head coach here, Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, in preparation for Tennessee.
As we talked yesterday, that the bye gave us a chance to come back refreshed and refocused. I was very pleased with the way we came back, and the guys responded yesterday. It was a good head start, a good bonus practice. And now we're right back into our normal routine. And it's, as I said yesterday, we don't get wrapped up in other teams' records. I don't think anybody can afford to in this league. There's too many good players, too many good coaches. I think the challenge to our guys week in and week out, regardless of the opponent, is that we're playing against our standards. And I think that helps protect you, helps insulate you from being real up and down, playing at varying levels. So this is a big challenge for us this week, especially going on the road. And we're expecting a tough matchup as a team that's struggled some of late. Opened the season with a heck of a win at Kansas City. But I have a lot of respect for Coach Wisenhunt and the rest of that coaching staff. We're sure it's going to be a battle.
I know that you just talked about you guys play your standards, but in making your argument about not looking at teams' records, do you look at Tennessee and they're probably thinking the same thing about the Browns? This is a game that after some of the opponents they've played?
Yeah, I'm sure when we pop up on the schedule based on our current record and less than recent history, when people are going to look at the Browns and have it, they want to pencil it in. It'll be penciled in as a win more often than not. I mean, that's what we're out to change, but I just, like I said yesterday, that conjecture is for fans, it's for media, that there's way too many good players and too many good coaches in this league that you have to be prepared physically and mentally to play every single week at a high level or you're going to get beat.
What do you see when you look at the Titans? What are their strengths?
Offensively, I'm very impressed with their skill set. They can throw four different running backs at you. The quarterback we're expecting to play, Locker, that he's a guy that can make all the throws but has the added element of the scramble, something that we have to be very mindful of. They invested a lot in that offensive line, and that's a group that, on paper is impressive. And then you flip it over on the other side of the ball. I think Jarrell Casey might be the best player, best defensive player in the league that nobody's really heard of, that he jumps off the tape. than when you watch him play. I mean, he's outstanding against the run. He has a lot of sack production as well. Very disruptive. He's a guy that we have to be very aware of where he is in the matchup. And it's a very active group. You know, guys that were here that know Ray, that he's going to be very aggressive with the scheme, and they're going to put pressure on you. They're going to force you to make decisions very quickly. And it is a pressure based defense, and they're very physical and they play hard. So it's a group that we know in all phases we're going to have our hands full.
When you say you expect to see Locker, do you have to prepare in case he doesn't play? I mean, do you a bunch more research on Whitehurst in case?
I don't think that their offense was that different when he wasn't in there. I think that the run game was the same. A lot of the pass concepts were the same. So it wouldn't be a radical departure for us. But just kind of given the fact that he practiced late last week and they were confident that he was going to practice today, you know, barring a setback, I mean, I'm fairly certain he'll be ready to go.
Have Tate listed as limited tonight? Is that just a normal progression?
It is. No, that's normal progression. That he'll that he took individual. He'll take a good part of the team reps today, and then I'll be surprised. Assuming things progress the way they should, then he should be listed as full at some point, either tomorrow or Friday.
Thinking about a change at punt returner?
No, I think that we can be very situational with our punt returners. That we haven't given up on Travis. That we want to see him kind of get it back and get going again. But just depending on the circumstances of the game, you know, if it's a pooch punt situation, I think Jim Leonard's one of the best punt catchers in the business. He'll argue with you. He's more of a punt returner, but he's a guy that you can trust back there as well. So we can trot some different combinations out there, both in the kick return and punt return.
Do you think there's any apprehension about the Travis and that knee? I mean, he's averaging 25 inches of return.
No, I think it's just too small of a sample size at this point. Because his reps on offense, that's not showing up. I mean, he's playing very well. I mean, there's, I think just about every week he's gotten behind the opponent's secondary. So I don't know if I would say that the knee is necessarily a big factor there. I think it's just too early to panic in that situation.
Mike, you talked yesterday about practice would be so important for Isaiah and Ben. I mean, Terrence this week. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you look for specifically in practice session to set one apart?
No different in the game. I mean, when they have an assignment each play to do, and how well do they carry it out, and are they getting a plus or a minus? I mean, we grade our guys tough in games and just as tough in practices, and you want to see a guy that's consistent, that's aware, as we tell our guys too, when somebody at your position gets coached, you're responsible for that coaching point as well. And it's important that those guys keep building that knowledge base of not just things they've been directly coached on, but the other guys at their position. And it'll just be a feel thing at the end of the week.
I think last week you said that Mingo had been bothered by the shoulder. You know, he missed the 1 week. Is he healthy? And I mean, I don't think he hasn't had any sacks yet. What do you need to see from him from a production standpoint?
We never put benchmarks on what production we need to see. Take the plays that are there for you. You run the danger of trying to make plays that aren't yours to make or coming out of structure to have production. I don't know. I can't speak for him saying that he feels 100% with it. But we haven't had him in a lot of situations where he's had opportunity to get sacks. That we've used Sheard and Kruger more on passing situation type things. So it's again, it falls back to not reading too much into statistics and a guy filling the grade sheet with pluses. I mean, that's what's most important to us. There are times where guys won't necessarily have production, but they'll cause production, and that comes with doing your job. And that's a big emphasis for us this week, is is our mantra in all phases, is do your job, good things will happen. And that's one thing that not just with Mingo, but everybody else that we're emphasizing.
Can you use the other two guys to rush the passer more than Barkiewicz? Is that because his skill set isn't as good as rushing the passer, or you like him better in coverage?
Like him better in coverage, and it's good to roll those guys through. I always like having guys coming off the bench, at least one guy on third down, fresh legs to rush the passer. I just think that helps you, especially late in the game when you need the guys to be fresh.
He was drafted here, and I know you weren't here. He was touted as a pass rusher almost purely. Did you see him differently when you were evaluating him?
I see him as having the ability to do both. We evaluated him just kind of over the other two in his drop ability. It's close, with Mingo probably being the best, Kruger second, and Jabal third, as far as ability to drop. And the Sam linebacker is a very important position for us from a coverage standpoint. And that's just the way we decided to proceed with that rotation.
Mike, you said yesterday there was a lot of things wrong with the run defense, you know, magical thing, what have you. How much of it has been guys just kind of overrunning plays or maybe trying to do too much instead of just doing their job?
I think that's part of it. I think making sure that it's some fundamental stuff. When I'm pursuing, I got to make sure that I can stay square in case the back decides to cut back and understand. And when I can open up and run full, or when I have to kind of throttle down and stay square to the ball. Sometimes staying behind the ball is important, not overrunning it and being susceptible to the cutback. But it's been a lot of detail things at every position. But it is obviously a point of emphasis for us to get cleaned up.
Ray Martin has said that it takes 8 games for a new defensive system to go in, to the extent that players aren't thinking too much about what they're doing and they're just responding. Is that about a smart ballpark to put out there?
Yeah, I've never thought about it in terms of a number that we will. I think it's a lot of it will be a factor of what did they play before, how radical a departure from what they're used to. If you're coming in and running essentially the same defense with some just a few minor changes, I think that learning curve is much faster. If you're going from 3-4 to 4-3 and everything is completely different, it will obviously be longer. So I've never thought of it in terms of number of games. I just think that across the board, from players to coaches, you better have a pretty good sense of urgency to get it to where it's ingrained and it's learned and guys are playing fast.
Speaking of Ray, though, you know, what did he leave behind that you kind of could dovetail off of in terms of similarities, or was it very little?
No, there were a lot of very similar concepts, and what helped was us retaining Bobby Babich, who was on the defensive staff a year ago, so he was able to kind of, as we went through the tape, you know, what was this, and what were these guys coached, and that really helped us in building it, and then being able to introduce it to the guys that were here before. Hey, this is what you ran last year, was called this, or this is the same technique. Okay, now we might tweak it this way. So I Bobby was very helpful for us in bridging that gap.
Mike, what do you think makes for a good road team? What qualities do you need to have?
Well, I think you said the word. I think the word team is important, that you can't go down there as a group of individuals. It's truly you against an entire stadium filled with the opposing team's fans. So it's you have to be very poised. You have to be focused. You have to understand that it's a long game and you're going to face some adversity. That I always equate NFL games to roller coaster rides, and that's what, you know, road games probably more than home games are like that as well, because you can kind of get caught up in it, and just the energy, and you just have to make sure that your guys can stay focused through it, stay together, that know, hey, listen, we got to have each other's backs on this one, because it's we are all that we have.
So that's Mike Patton from earlier today, about an hour and a half ago, as a matter of fact. And a lot of very as Nathan and Matt and I talked about in the first hour of the show, a lot of intriguing conversation. And our next guest, the man that we always love to talk to, coming up on the other side of this timeout, Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram. Scotty was the one that asked Mike Pettine a couple of the questions that you heard with regard to Barkevius Mingo, his role, and how everything regarding that is going to maybe come into clearer focus with the Browns' outside edge-rushing linebackers. When we get back, Matt Wilhelm, yours truly, Scott Petrak from the Elyria Chronicle-Telegram will dive into all of that. Keep it locked down with us, Cleveland Browns Daily. We're always driven by Liberty Ford. Do not go away.